This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahman ar-rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni 'ilma, Rabbi zidni 'ilma, Rabbi zidni 'ilma. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Welcome everybody for the first class of the daily, not the daily reminder, the prophetic day. And inshallah, the whole idea, remember we talked about it last week in our introduction class, that Prophet ﷺ's life is divided into many categories. There is something called marahil, or these are called the narrative. You know, this happened, this happened, this happened, and then Prophet ﷺ passed away. The other is called Shama'il. Shama'il is basically what? Shama'il is what? Shama'il is us knowing about Prophet ﷺ's life. How he woke up, how he slept, the characteristics about the Prophet ﷺ. So these are called Shama'il. Right? These are called Shama'il. Under Shama'il, we can do a lot of things. So today we're focusing on looking at Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he lived a single day in his life. Now this is going to take somewhere between 8 to 9 weeks. So we're going to dissect every single day of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's day would start would be the first day. So we're going to start from the beginning, which is the Adhan of Fajr. Bilal radiallahu anhu, as soon as the sky would have a little bit of light. You know, if you ever traveled in an airplane and you witnessed a sunrise, you would see something. What happens is before the sun comes out,
it's kind of purple, blue.
No, before the sun comes out, it's white. Yeah. The horizon's gonna be white. It's just amazing. Because before the sun actually comes out, you'll see the light of sun about to emit. It's just gonna be like, you'll see this white line that distinguishes between the dark and the light. So you will see the light on the above side of the light, and the bottom side is going to be dark. And it's something real, huh?
Splitting
them. Yeah, so you'll see that split. And then eventually the sun would come out, right? So when that particular time, you know, just when the sun is about to come out, not sunrise, just when the light is about to come, is that's when the Fajr actually starts. And at that particular point, Bilal radiallahu anhu, in Medina, he would get up onto the minaret of Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, and he would give the adhan. Prophet ﷺ, definitely his eyes would wake up, he would wake up, his eyes would open up by hearing the adhan of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Now Prophet ﷺ would respond to the adhan of Bilal, while he's still in his bed. So he has opened his eyes, he has heard the adhan, and he's responding to the adhan. How would he respond to the adhan? You need to raise your hands. Yes.
It means he's repeating. Like when he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then Prophet Muhammad says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Good, good. So he would repeat the adhan. But there was something unique about how Prophet ﷺ would repeat his adhan and how we repeat our adhan. The way Prophet ﷺ, he would respond to his adhan is when the muadhin would say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he would say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He would say wa ana. So what is the muadhin saying? I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And Prophet ﷺ is saying, and I too bear witness that. So many times when he would be on the minbar, about to do the khutbah, this is what a khatib does. Because he's in a position of about to give speech to the public. So when the muezzin is saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the person is saying, wa ana, that I'm seconding the call of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah from the minbar and from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was in general, because he was the messenger. So he was, you know, he did not, this affirmation was actually for us and for everybody else. But Prophet ﷺ, his level of iman was at that level that he could actually be the source of that affirmation. So he would say, wa ana. That's it. That would be more than enough from his side. Okay? That's how he would respond to the adhan of Bilal. After responding to the adhan of Bilal, he would get up from his bed. Now, once he would get up from his bed, if there was a need for him to go to the bathroom, if there was a need for him to make wudu, if there was a need for him to take a bath, you know, mandatory bath or the fard bath that you have to do, any of these situations, he would do whatever was necessary at that particular time. Now my question is, how much water did Prophet ﷺ use for his wudu? One bowl. What was the size of the bowl?
It was like small.
Come on, you guys have it in front of you.
That!
Yes. This is called one mud. Muddun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what Prophet ﷺ would do is this is all he would use for his wudu.
Okay, I'll pass it around.
I'll pass it around. You guys can see it. So imagine how much pani or how much water
how much
water do we use to make wudu, and how much water did Prophet ﷺ use for his wudu? At this point, he would make his wudu. He would make wudu or ghusl. Sometimes Prophet ﷺ would get up and he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't even make wudu, and he would go straight. Allahu Akbar.
How?
And then when he would do that, yes.
Because he prayed tahajjud in the night and maybe he didn't get to sleep.
No.
He just got up
and he went straight and he prayed. And then somebody would remind him, his wife, they would remind him. If you guys have any questions, remember we talked about how we're going to ask questions.
Yeah, write it down.
Yeah, if you have any questions, write down. Because I will clear a lot of your things, inshallah. But if you have any questions left at the end of it, then ask me. So what happens is, something's up with that bulb. What would happen is Prophet ﷺ, he would get up from his sleep, he would go straight and make wudu. Very simple. Not make wudu and just simply go in and start praying without making wudu. And the sahabas, they would ask, they're like, how is it possible? He just woke up. And then Prophet ﷺ, he replied with his famous hadith. He said, تَنَامُ عَيْنَاي, that my eyes sleep, وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي, and my heart does not sleep. And this is called khasa'is. Yeah. Remember khasa'is we talked about khasa'is with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So seerah is divided into many things. It's marahil, it's shama'il, it's khasa'is, okay, and it's dala'il. So khasa'is is basically, khasa'is is exceptional rules that only apply to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if today one of us, Abdul Nafi, decided, he said, you know what, mashallah, mashallah, I want to sleep, great, I wake up. I feel so great, I don't need to make wudu. We would tell him, you have lost your kuhus, right? You need to go to the doctor and get checked. There's something wrong, right? But for Prophet ﷺ, these things were called exceptions. They belong, khasa'is with Nabi ﷺ. They were only permitted for Prophet ﷺ and nobody else.
Just like tahajjud was also fard for the Prophet.
Just like tahajjud was fard on Prophet ﷺ and nobody else. Okay? these are called khasa'is of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Then he would pray his two rakahs. His two rakahs of sunnah would be so fast that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, sometimes I would doubt, did he even recite Surah Fatiha?
What? That's how fast?
Yes, no, that's the hadith. She said that somebody would doubt, هَلْ هُوَ قَرَأَ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, did he even read Surah Fatiha in it? It would be so fast. Now I will tell you the ordinary speed of Prophet ﷺ, and then you'll realize that how fast our salah are. Our slowest salah would be the fastest of Prophet ﷺ. So I'll explain that to you in the beginning, in the coming. Okay, after praying the two rakahs of Fajr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would he do next? He would go back, lie down on his bed. If any of his wife was awake, he would sit down and he would have a chat with his wife. How was your day? Did you sleep well? What are we, you know, just general planning and husband and wife needs to do in their lives. But sometimes, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she would be sleeping, or Hafsa or Zainab, they would be sleeping. So he would just simply go and lie down next to them. This time he's not going to sleep. He's just lying down waiting for Bilal radiallahu anh to come and wake him up so that he can go and lead the salah. Now Bilal radiallahu anh, the way it would be that adhan would be called, sahabas would start trickling into the masjid. There was no set time. That, like, you know, in these masjids, for Fajr it is 25 minutes, for Zuhur it is 15, for Asr it is 15, for Maghrib it is 10, for Isha it is 20. So adhan, and then 20 minutes later, whether the imam is there or not, stay away from this, please. Whether the imam is there or not, they start. It wasn't like that. The way the thing they would wait for is the masjid full or not?
No.
If the masjid would be full, Bilal radiallahu anhu would go to Prophet sallam, Ya Rasulullah, as-salam. As-salah ya Rasulullah, as-salah ya Rasulullah. He would go and tell that the masjid is full, we're waiting for you to come out. And then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would open the sitar, or he would open the curtains to his house, and he would go outside. When he would step out of his house, what foot would he use?
Right. Left.
Right? But did he use the left foot?
No.
He used the right foot.
Why?
He was entering the masjid.
Because he was entering the masjid and his house was in the masjid. So when he would get come out of his house, he would be going into the masjid.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't. But when we step outside of our house, we use our left, and when we enter, we use our right. Okay? So these are called some exceptional things about Prophet ﷺ. What dua would he read? Anybody knows the dua? Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. So he would enter the masjid and he would enter from his right. He would leave from his exit from his house. As we exit from a house, we use our left, but Prophet ﷺ would use his right because he would be entering into the
masjid.
He would be entering into the masjid.
In the masjid.
And then when he would be leaving from the masjid, what would he use? Going back to his home?
Left.
Right both times. So he would read the dua, as we said, you know, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, when he's leaving the house. As soon as he would be entering the masjid, he would be saying, Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatika. And then he would enter the masjid. When he would enter the masjid, he would go straight to the mihrab. He would go straight to the mihrab. What's really interesting over here, that sometimes something strange would happen. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to the mihrab, all the sahabas are lined up, and they're all ready for salah. And all of a sudden Rasulullah would turn around to them and he would say, Makanukum, stay in your places, don't move. And then he would just leave. And then he would go home, he would make another fresh wudu, and then he'd come back. And imagine if an imam did this today, right? Like, you know, you're a masjid imam. He goes, he's like, everybody's like, Makanukum. And he gets in, goes out, goes to his house, comes back 10 minutes later, and everybody's waiting for salah. Right?
But everybody's probably going to be sitting down.
No, everybody's probably going to be like, you know, where one of us is just going to, in these days, one of us is going to stand up.
And
you know, we'll just leave. We're not going to wait for the imam. Forget it. Sometimes Prophet ﷺ, he would come outside and they would see that he has just taken a shower. So he has just taken a shower. You know, he's coming outside and it's like the water is dripping from his head. So he had, like, the salah was delayed because Prophet ﷺ was taking a shower. Now, obviously, the shower of Prophet ﷺ, he didn't have, like, grow hay taps to turn them on and, you know, mix it. Oh, there we go.
Right. That's good. Oh, that's good.
He couldn't do that. Now something else would happen after this. Prophet ﷺ, he would start his salah. Remember I told you that, you know, we're going to talk about the speed of his salah. The speed of his salah was very different from the speed of our salah. Anybody remembers the time when internet was dial-up?
Dial-up.
You guys don't remember that, right?
1900s?
No. I'm not that old.
I'm down now.
Okay, don't come back, please. If you want to sit, you can sit down.
Can I go to him?
Yes, go. Tell him that he's coming.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, you go. You can sit and he can go down. Alright, so what would happen? You know, dial-up was where internet, you would have to connect with your phone, your home phone. And when you would connect, it would go like... It would make these sounds. Your computer would make weird sounds. And then eventually it's like... And it would connect. And if you get it connected, it would be like so slow that I remember if we had to like... Sometimes we had to download like a 4MB file. We would leave our internet on the whole night. And when we came home next morning, it was like, oh my god, look, the picture is downloaded, man. It's so cool. And this was in Canada back then, you know? So internet was like... So it used to be so slow. Yahoo, you would type in yahoo.com and you would enter. And you would wait there for like at least a minute until yahoo.com would load. And you'd be like, you know, oh, I see the Yahoo symbol. Oh, the pictures are coming. I see the status bar, it's coming. Yes, the page is loaded. And then you would not click on anything else because you just wanted to see the page. Because if you clicked on something else, you'd have to look at the screen for 5 minutes. Or for 1 minute or sometimes 30 seconds. And it would take its time. Sometimes, you know, there was this internet browser called Netscape. You guys don't even have Netscape yet. They do. If you type in Google, you'll get Netscape. It's still there. And the interesting thing about Netscape was... when the new version of Netscape came out, you had to actually download it. And literally, like, we would put the Netscape... It was like a 2MB file. 3MB. We would put Netscape on download and we'd make sure nobody touches the phone. Because if you pick up the phone, the internet would get disconnected. So when the internet was connected, nobody was allowed to use the phone. And it was those days. So dial-up was very slow. Then came DSL, or the internet that you guys have today with your phone lines, the DSL internet.
That's fiber.
Yeah, fiber. Fiber to the curb. And fiber to the curb and all of that. So interesting thing is, it's so fast now. And what has happened is, as the internet has become faster, so has our salah. So before, salah in the olden days, you know, 30 years ago, people would, you know, if somebody would read the salah fast, they would be like, what did you do, man? You read it so fast. Today, if somebody, you know, reads one long surah, good luck.
They kick the guy out.
Yeah, they will kick the guy out, definitely. So what would happen is the imam, this person came to the imam and he's like, yeah, imam, something small, not... So he's like, okay, fine. We'll do one of these, like, you know, these type of salahs. So imam goes, Allahu Akbar. And he finished, وللضالين آمين. And he starts, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. The guy's like, Surah Baqarah. And he was like, oh my god. And the imam is like, short. So he read all Surah Baqarah. In the first raka'ah. Come the second raka'ah. Second raka'ah.
He read the one of Imran.
No. He went and he's like, وَلَضَّالِّينَ آمِينَ. And then he's like, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِينَ. The guy, he said, if Baqarah was this long, then how long is going to be the surah of elephant? It's going to be really long. So he broke his salah and he ran. Right? Because he said, if Baqarah is going to take this long, I don't want to be behind the surah of Fil.
Oh, that's really going to...
Yeah, so he did, you know, he did the size of Baqarah and stuff.
He broke his salah and ran.
Okay, so in those days, salah, in the olden days, salah used to be fast. Now, the salah is faster, very, very fast, extremely fast. The way Prophet ﷺ would do his salah was something very different. His salah would be something like this. He would start, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. So whatever period that he would recite the verse from, he would stop. Do you guys have something to say? Okay, so you shouldn't be talking like that. It's extremely rude. Okay? He would be saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And he would pause for the same time that he read that verse. So that, you know, he can ponder, he can reflect upon it. And even the feeling that you're going to get when you recite Quran slowly is very different. Then after that, next part. Something interesting, when the salah would end, when Prophet ﷺ, his salah would end, something very interesting would happen. What's the first thing that, don't touch the wires, come move up. When salah would end, what would Prophet ﷺ say the first thing? After saying salam, astaghfirullah. Why do you think he has to say astaghfirullah?
If he had any mistakes.
Did he have any mistakes?
No.
He didn't. Then why is he saying astaghfirullah?
Because forgive the people behind him.
To?
Forgive the people behind him.
No.
He's responsible for all the people he needs as well.
No.
So any mistakes mean better.
No.
Oh, because if the people behind
him. Who is he teaching?
The people.
People. How did we know that we were supposed to say astaghfirullah?
Because he was there.
Because he was there to teach us. Even if he didn't need to do that action, he had to do it so that he needs to teach us. Then when you finish your salahs, there's going to be some issues with your salahs. Obviously, you're not going to have 100% focus in your salah. So after you've done your salah, you know, whether it is your DSL salah or your dial-up salah, if you're slow or fast, whatever type, you're going to need to have to ask Allah to forgive the shortcomings in your salah. What was really interesting to see that Prophet's life actually revolved around this whole concept of istighfar. This whole concept of istighfar, everything revolved around it. So Prophet ﷺ, after salah, he would say istighfar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses in Surah Nasr, what did he say? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. This was the ending of Prophet ﷺ. When this surah was revealed, who cried? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When this surah was revealed, Abu Bakr started crying. Everybody else around, they're like, what's there to cry in this surah? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, you shall have victory. What's there to cry about in this surah? But he understood that khalas. Fath means that Rasulullah has become successful in his mission and it is time for him to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he started crying.
But did he tell anyone?
That no, everybody. Yes. Yeah, he did. So, فَسَبِّحْ. So his ending of his life was فَاسْتَغْفِرْ. There's another thing, when Rasulullah ﷺ was close to his end, when he was about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go back, he would say the following words a lot. سُبْحَانَ wa bihamdihi, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْنِ. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَظِيمِ. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْنِ. سبحان ربي العظيم اللهم اغفر لي. سبحان ربي العظيم اللهم اغفر لي. سبحان الله وبحمده اللهم اغفر لي. He would say these repetitively. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would finish his salah, he would do his istighfar, he would turn around, and they would all sit there in the masjid doing adhkar, remembrance of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They would all be doing remembrance and adhkar of Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would be remembering. So these are adhkar, the morning evening du'as, right? The morning evening adhkars. So if you bring that book, Husn al-Muslim, next week we will begin with what are morning and evening adhkars. So we're going to begin with that. I'll end this day. So Rasulullah is, imagine this scene, right? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's sitting there, all the sahabas, the way you guys are turned towards me, they're all turned towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're all sitting there, and they're doing what? No, they're not. You need to pay attention in the class. Okay? They're doing their adhkars. Everybody else, all the sahabas, they're doing their morning, evening adhkars. While they're doing the adhkars, imagine the scene that this row, it splits open. So, sahabas on this side, sahabas on this side, this is empty. Now, why is this empty? Why would the sahabas divide themselves like this?
There's a prophet as well. There's a prophet as well.
The prophet wants to leave.
Some people are going to enter.
So that people can enter and ask Rasulullah questions.
Yes, but they would not ask questions at this time. We'll talk about it when the question answers will come. At this time, all that would happen would be the servants of Medina. There would be young children, small children. You know, from, you know, your mom is going to say, take this, go to Rasulullah. And this would be filled with what?
Water.
Water. It, not necessarily this. They would bring their, any drinking bowl that they would have. It would be different sizes, whatever. And they would come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the servants would line up, and all the young kids, they would line up in the morning, and Rasulullah is sitting there. And what do you think they want from Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam?
No.
To be sent to
No.
Yeah.
Something to do with blowing, but something else.
He spits inside it.
Kind of. Not really. Not spit, but something else. The blessing. So they would want the blessings of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How would Prophet bless the water?
Say this one.
He would put his hand in. And he would take it out. He would put the water would be there. Prophet Sallallahu would place his hand in the water and he would take his hand out. And then the servant would go back. Then he would come back, they would put the water, the next servant comes, Rasulullah would dip his hand.